May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com, Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. I'm your host, Tate Frazier. It is a beautiful Tuesday, and we are back to our old forum. Joining us today, Cousin Sal.
Back in the first half hour, baby.
I know. It's a lot of, you know, chess moves behind the scenes there by you, Cousin Sal, but you're back at the top of the show. Welcome back.
Look, eventually, people come to their senses, right?
Yeah.
That's all I could say.
Right.
It's great to have you here. Can we play your favorite game?
Yeah, let's play my favorite game.
Let's celebrate by playing your favorite
game. We'll talk about the NBA. If you're here for the NBA games, we'll talk a little bit about that. But in the second half, we'll have KOC and Chris Vernon breaking it all down.
If he shows up, he shows up.
But we're back to the top of the show. We're back to over-under reactions. And I'll start here. We're talking playoffs, Sal.
Yeah.
These playoffs will be the official end of Heat culture as we know it today. Is that an over-under reaction? What say you?
Was there ever a Heat culture?
They had jerseys.
They did have the jerseys. Right. They got far last year. Mm-hmm. But really, what are they? They're a big market team that wins 42 games every year, is in the 7-8 slot, doesn't give themselves much of a chance to succeed, and because they win 42 games a year, can't get a great draft pick. It's the same thing over and over. I think it is dead. I'll say underreaction. Heat culture is dead, although maybe like a new beast has emerged, and Spoelstra fouling late. Our boy Scalabrine said it. Watch this. They're going after players.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the new Heat. Maybe it's like the movie Heat with Val Kilmer, like just an action thriller.
Yeah, beat culture. They'll beat you
up. There you go.
And that'll be over with. So there you go. A lot to talk about in that series. Let's talk about another series, the most interesting series in the first round, Sal. Oklahoma City and New Orleans, they saved us from a terrible weekend of first round games. Is that an overreaction or an underreaction?
I'm going to say underreaction. I do. But, you know, how also excited are we supposed to get? I mean, here's the number one seed who I think they scored like 6 points in the last 7 minutes against the eight seed without their best player at home. And was probably like, wow, this
what a game.
They're a dynamo.
And MVP.
Score was close. So I like it because I like the terrible weekend because I bet -9.5 both sides.
Yeah.
So whether it's, you know.
You're basically breaking the NBA
down. Yeah. I want the bad the bad shooting by one team, and I'm going to capitalize on it.
Yeah, you're capitalizing on that variance, and we saw a lot of it this weekend. So shout out to all the NBA holes out there. This is their time of year.
Yeah.
They're locked in, so they're having fun. Let's talk about USA basketball, international basketball, because I'll say this to you, Sal. It's ridiculous that Team USA doesn't get to pick their own jersey numbers. In case you missed it, Kawhi Leonard Ty Lue brings him into his office. He shows him that he is wearing number 8, which apparently he did not want to be wearing. And
like
that was his first reaction. Kawhi just said 8 with kind of a shock. What are your thoughts on this over-under reaction?
Overreaction.
Okay.
Who the hell cares what number you're wearing? Do we have the clip here? I don't know. You see his reactions as if he got the news that his dog has chlamydia.
Right.
It's like, all right, you'll wear number 8.
It's supposed to be a celebration reaction, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, this was a USA basketball, was a marketing push to be like, get excited for the summer. The best players that you know and love will be playing. This is also Kawhi's first Olympics. And
if he plays.
If he plays.
Who knows? He might not even play. Like, my son, you know, finds out that he didn't get number 20 on his travel team. Like, oh, Luka got number 20 and he's back to watching YouTube shorts. He's fine.
Not
he's
Kawhi. He wanted number 9. That's the word on the street.
Right, he doesn't own the number.
Well,
the count on Sesame Street came up with number 8. Many, many years ago. So
well,
take it up with him.
That's a good one. And last time we saw him, he wore number 30, Sal, in a showcase back in 2015.
Okay.
So it's not like he had any sort of you know, standing there. All right, next one. This was a wild watch if you saw this weekend. Of course, I'm talking about Ryan Garcia. And I'll say this to you, Sal. Ryan Garcia is a must-watch in and out of the ring. Is that an over or under reaction?
No, it's an under reaction. I lost money betting against Ryan Garcia. But, I mean,
a lot of people did.
I mean, he's a lunatic. He comes in overweight. Mm-hmm. He's got an orchestra playing in his locker room before the fight. He's downing brews like nephew Kyle on spring break. Mm-hmm. He's out of his mind, and then he knocks Devin Haney down three times and wins. But the problem is, like, he may retire from boxing before the rematch. He may retire from this earth.
Yeah.
Knowing him. Well,
we don't know what he's going to do. He is the ultimate. We can never guess his next move, but he was great in this fight. Ryan Garcia, kudos to him for that win. Next one, Sal. Juan Soto is going to win the AL MVP because he is officially a Yankee. It is happening. He's already got 5 home runs this year, 28 hits. Looking good so far. And if you look at the odds, plus 250 to be the AL MVP. Is that an over or under reaction?
I thought you were going to say Juan Soto is going to hell because he is a Yankee. But so I'm more confident.
I think that was the original copy. They made some changes.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, he was favored at a very low number going into the season. It wasn't plus 250, but it was about 300. So it didn't leave a lot of room for error. And I don't want to say he's worth every penny, but like you said, 5 dingers off the bat. Batting .337. If he were a Met, he'd be struggling to get north of 200. Good for him. I still hate your Yankees. I don't even know why you like them.
I blame everybody in my family. We had no team. I'm a Durham Bulls fan, really. But
okay. Yeah.
They go to the Tampa Bay Rays, which is a division rival, so it doesn't make
any
sense.
If the Durham Bulls could just get Juan Soto on the map.
Maybe they could be a professional team at some point. Yeah. We're looking at you, Kevin Costner. Make something happen. Next one's out. Trading for Zach Wilson isn't the worst thing to happen to the Broncos on Monday. Is that an overreaction or underreaction?
You're talking about those uniforms, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's an underreaction, although I don't know what they're going to do. Like, are they just going to try every Wilson at quarterback? Really?
If you bought a Wilson number 3 jersey, you're in luck. I think you just got a different Wilson, but same jersey.
Owen Wilson next year, Rain Luke Wilson after that.
Right.
Just try it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's got to be embarrassed, Zach Wilson, right? He was the cream of the crop and now traded for a 6th round pick and has to wear that jersey.
Yeah, pick number 206 and follow up a guy who had the exact same last name as you.
Yikes.
So, tough for Zach Wilson. Last one in our favorite game of over-under reaction. Sal, the certainty at the top of the NFL draft board makes this draft boring. Is that an overreaction or an underreaction?
I'm going to say a little bit of an overreaction. I know what you're saying. There hasn't been a lot of talk because Caleb Williams is going number 1. You can't bet on that. It's been prohibitive. Like since he was in like 4th grade, we knew he was going number 1. But J.J. McCarthy at number 2 is getting a little bit of buzz, Tate. It was 60-1, now on FanDuel all the way down to 9-1. So maybe there's some reshuffling. There's talk about the Vikings trading up, maybe even the Broncos trading up to get that number 2. I don't know. He's 20 years old. Maybe that's the pick. What's going to be great is when New England trades the 3.
Right.
And
they celebrate the pick first.
Right.
And then, it gets announced later. Right.
They trade Drake May or whatever. Right.
Minnesota.
Right.
And they maybe Denver.
Grab a guard from Emporia State or something.
Yeah, right.
I hate that.
Got to trade back. That's what we got to do. The Riverboat Captain has a question for us, Sal. And it's a simple one. Talking about the NFL draft. How should NFL draftees greet Roger Goodell, the commissioner, when they get up on stage? And we got the odds right now. Handshake is the favorite, 2-1. A hug, 4-1. A dab, shout out to Cam Newton at 7-1. Pantsing the commissioner, which would be, I think that'd be a great comedic move. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce might like that. 100-1, and the field is even odds. What say you, Sal? What would you do as an NFL draft?
Okay, so let's walk this through, all right? Mm-hmm. So the guy is despised at these drafts. He gets up there. You can't even hear what he's saying. He's booed mercilessly, right?
Yeah.
He's so relieved when the first round is over. Then he can hand over emceeing duties to whoever in the second round. I think they do it city by city, whatever. So what can you do? You want to get a pop from the crowd, right? But you don't want to get kicked out of the league. So what do you think you can get away with? I think the best, I'm going field, a solid nut tap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just a little get in there.
Yeah, a little flick there.
Little flick.
Flick of the wrist.
Then you got your point, you laugh, the crowd's going bonkers. Knoxville comes out, Steve-O, Wee Man. Let me show you what I mean.
Don't do it. Ah!
You wouldn't be laughing.
That's right. That would be good, though. I like it. And you get it at even odds.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's a good one.
How ready he is.
Yeah, I know. I got scared.
Do you have a medic?
I know. I felt like Roger Goodell in the room right there.
Right.
But I like that at the field. I was going to go with just a smack on the ass. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, you're going the other side.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So either way,
yeah.
Roger Goodell is going to take a smack.
Good.
If we have something to say about
get
it.
Ready,
so
Roger.
Even odds right there. I think great value. So Roger Goodell, watch out on Thursday night. Someone's going to come after you. Might be even Cousin Sal. Speaking of Cousin Sal, Sal, you're going to set some lines for us.
Oh, now it's me, and
I
ask you questions. Okay, speaking of that draft, most overused word or term in that draft, telecast? Is it high motor?
That's a big one.
Eye test, football IQ, or grinder?
Mm, all these guys, all these at even odds, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with blue collar. I feel like blue collar is the big term these days to just say he puts his hand in the dirt. He makes things happen. He is a grinder, but you don't want to say grinder because there's other connotations of that. So maybe you just go with, you know, blue collar guy. I'm going to go there. I don't know what the odds are, but I'll take
even odds. I know. I mean, you're right about grinder. It used to be little used, and then Mel Kiper Jr. became familiar with the app, and then it was over.
Was
that. I can't miss prospect freak. Anybody, anybody big, big
physical freak. Yeah, physical freak. Yeah.
Good intangibles. I would keep saying that somebody has good intangibles. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I can't explain it. It's, it's an intangible.
It's just in his heart and it's in his head. It's I can't explain it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Over under the date Luka Doncic appears on his first Ozempic commercial. August, what is it, 15th we have? August 14th or somewhere in there.
Right around the Olympics. Yes. So he's obviously on a national, international scale.
Fat.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying he's fat. Yeah. Zion is very happy about this. He has taken some of that vitriol. Right. Now it's going towards Luka. I'm going to say this happens before August 15th. I think he's going to be in the Serbian version or Slovenian version, Slovenian, you know, one of those countries over there. That,
and he could do the jingle.
Yeah, the jingle does translate. Right. It doesn't have to be the exact same word, but the jingle will translate.
If I were him, I'd be like, listen, you mother effers. I'm putting up, what did he have, like 33 and 13 coming in fat? Imagine, like, if he didn't look like Jonah Hill in the early days.
He's trying to give everybody else a chance. I think it's actually sweet of Lucas.
Exactly. So all right. Last one. Over under amount of money I'll spend on Broadway musicals starring Huey Lewis. I was there this weekend. Hard and Rock and Roll, the musical. Corey Cott did a great job as the lead. And I mean, you know me with musicals.
You love musicals.
I love them so much.
Yeah, you love Broadway shows. Yeah. I'm going to go over. I think you're going to be back. I think Huey Lewis is going to be back on Broadway. We're talking Tonys, and I think we're talking Cousin Sal, watching everything that happens with Huey Lewis and the news. That's the headline.
That's right easy win.
Cousin Sal will be back.
Yeah, yeah. sorry, sports guy. I don't see a Pearl Jam musical anytime soon, right?
Wow, maybe.
No mistake there.
Maybe in the future. We'll see what happens. Speaking of the future, we're going to talk about the future with some line look aheads. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. Myself and Cousin Sal, we'll see you then.
How are you?
I'm all right. Okay, I'm all right. Good. I'm all right.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're still here with Cousin Sal. And
I'm sorry. You make it like, oh, we're still here with Cousin Sal.
I'm excited about it.
Get your boyfriend KOC in, right? That's fine.
No, he already left. He's with Chris Vernon now.
Okay.
Yeah, they're doing their own thing, Sal. Now,
all right. Well, let's play our favorite game.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we did that already?
My second favorite game. We got to do some line look-aheads. I don't even know if this is considered a game, but it is a segment. We're going to have some fun.
No, it's real life. This is where we make money, Tim.
Right.
Let's do it.
Real life. Let's talk about the NBA. The playoffs are happening, in case you missed it. Let's look at the first game here. We got the 6-seed Suns taking on the Timberwolves. This will be game 2. T-Wolves -3 in this one. The total at 214. I say to you, Sal, what say you in this game?
Well, it's funny how the line doesn't move according to what happened in game 1, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it might be that the T-Wolves are double digits better than the Suns, but the line goes lower a little bit. We saw that with the Denver and the Lakers and went from 7.5 to 7. So,
as Richard Jefferson said, when you lose game 1, you actually win.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Is he right about that?
I don't know, but it sounded
all right.
Good.
I want to see his bank statements, but maybe, I mean, he's probably doing all right. Yeah. Durant had a very good game. Mm-hmm. Grayson Allen did not. Booker did not. I expect them to rebound in game two. Not literally rebound, but I think they'll have good shooting games. So give me the plus three.
I like it. I think this will be a fun game just to see if KD guards Anthony Edwards again. We obviously had that great moment there with those two guys. So that's my fascinating matchup to watch. And I'm a big Anthony Edwards fan. I fell in love in real time there.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'll talk to KFC.
I hope I'm invited
to
a wedding.
Point.
Yeah.
Next game, we got the Pacers, the sixth seed in the East, taking on the number three seed, Bucks. Bucks minus two in this one. The total is at 225. Bucks look good in game one. Dame Lillard looked incredible in that first half. What do you see here, Sal?
I mean, everything was stacked against the Bucks, right? The last 10 games, they were miserable. They lost with and without Giannis to bad teams. So everyone wrote them off. The Pacers, this could be a sweep. They could win in five. What do? They embarrass Indiana. Lillard said, not so fast. I got another 35 in me. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the short number here with the Bucks. I actually think they'll go up 2-0 in this series. Portis and Middleton continue to step it up in front of the home crowd, and Milwaukee takes a two-game advantage.
It's a great crowd, too. Yeah. Dame Lillard, after the game, was talking about he had never seen a crowd quite like that. He mentioned OKC, but said the Bucks were probably better, and we saw it in 2021. They are crazy, crazy fans. Mm-hmm. Next one, Sal, we got the number 8 Pelicans taking on the number 1 Thunder. This was the most fascinating game in round one. We talked about that a little bit, but minus 7.5, total at 211. What do we see here? We think the Pelicans can steal one in Oklahoma City.
I'm sorry. Is this, did we jump this? I'm sorry. I had Mavs Clippers next. I'm sorry. So wait, it's,
that's all right. Yeah. We got Pelicans Thunder, then Heat Celtics, then Mavs Clippers.
Got it.
All good?
Yeah. It's out of order for date wise though, right? Doing this right this way.
Yeah, I guess we are. Yeah. Mavs Clippers should have been before.
Okay. Whatever you want to do. Just tell me what it is.
Let's do, Chris, can you go to Mavs Clippers?
We'll call timeout here too with the clock.
Yeah, I'll just reset that up.
I'll do whatever you want to do. Just
do Mavs. We'll go Mavs Clippers.
Yeah.
And then Heat. Then Pelicans Thunder. Then Heat Celtics.
Okay.
So basically, we're just moving Mavs Clippers ahead of these next two. On a single here. So yeah, Tate. So Mavs Clippers here.
All right. Cool. All right, next one, Sal. We got the 5 seed, the Mavericks, taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers plus 2.5 in this game. 217.5 the total. This will be in Los Angeles on Tuesday night. It will be a fun game. What do you see in this one, Sal?
Well, this is another one, right? The narrative was the Bucks are done and the Mavs are the best team in the West. And right. Like the Clippers are like, yeah, not so fast. But it comes down to the three ball. As I said, this is why my -9.5 magic works. There's such a variance. 10 for 33. For the Mavericks, 18 for 36 for the Clippers. They're not going to keep that up. I'm going to reluctantly take Dallas in game two. By the way, we're racing to 10 with the Mavericks over the Clippers at -125. Harry picked it, so I'm a little worried.
I'm a little worried for you, but I think that will be a fun game to watch. And no Kawhi still. We're hoping we see him at some point in this series. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. Next one, Sal. Number 8 Pelicans going to Oklahoma City to take on the number 1 seed Thunder. Thunder -7.5 in this one. Total at 211. Pelicans look good in game one. What do you see here?
Yeah, I think the Pelicans... We'll take a step back here. OKC, I think, is decidedly better, and we're just kind of taken by surprise by a team that they thought may be a little fatigued from playing the playing games and all that. So I would actually, in fact, take an adjusted number at -12.5. You can get OKC at +185. And if you like Shea individually to net 35 or more, that's +270. So a couple adjusted totals
there. I like that. That's a really good call there. I think the Thunder had this moment where they were a little bit nervous, you know what I mean? And then in that game, as it got down into crunch time, SGA, Chet Holmgren, everybody kind of chimed in and had a good moment. So congratulations to the Thunder. I think they figured out their jitters. So I'm with you there. I think they win that game two at home and go up 2-0. So no fun, interesting game so far in the first round. We'll see what happens. Let's look at this series. There's interesting stuff. Not from the basketball standpoint, but just from the cultural standpoint. Number 8 seed, the Miami Heat, taking on the number 1 seed Celtics. Celtics -14.5 in this one. The total at 204.5. What do you see here? There's a lot of drama off the court, not really on the court.
I know. I don't want to screw with the line here at 14.5 because the Celtics kind of screw around. They were up by 32, and then they were up by 16 and 20. I don't even remember what I know they covered the first game, but I'm going to go with a player prop here. Tatum for a double-double is even. and for a triple-double, 15-1. And guess what he did?
Triple-double.
He had a triple-double.
Ugliest triple-double you ever yes. see, but yeah,
not pretty, but when you're collecting at 15-1 odds, Tate, I don't feel like FanDuel adjusted that. 23-10-10, I'll take the 15-1. He averages 25-9-6 against Miami, so at least a double-double. Sprinkle a little on the 3D.
Yeah, I think that's a great call, and I will say the Celtics and the Heat, it will get chippy, so even if the basketball is bad, even if the game gets out of hand, you can watch just for the drama of it all, and Spoelstra always has something up his sleeve, so
yeah.
Shout-out to Bill Simmons. I know he'll be locked in on that series. Let's talk about the NFL draft, Sal, because... that's your bread and butter.
I love
that's,
it.
Yeah, you yeah. love the NFL.
My bread and butter is actually bread and butter.
I like bread I like and butter it as so well. Much. Yeah, yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good stuff. Let's.
I could hear you guys.
Oh, sorry, guys. I'm sorry. We didn't realize that was on. All right, well, that's okay. We had a weird graphic hiccup, so we'll pick that up there.
Okay.
At the top of the next one. So you want to change that there, Chris?
Yeah. So I think you should just do the intro and I'll fade into it.
Okay, got it. So, yeah, Tate, if you want, where we are.
Total number here? Of quarterbacks, yeah.
There you go.
All right, there you have it. There's our NBA playoff talk. Mm-hmm. Box is checked, Sal. Now we can
That's
talk about
it. We're good for the next 8 weeks?
Yeah, we're good. We're
wow.
done.
I don't know we'll, how we
we'll
did
check
it.
Back in when the Boston Celtics win, and we'll, okay. we'll say congratulations. Let's talk about the NFL. Let's talk about the NFL draft in particular. We got total number of quarterbacks drafted in round one. The line is 4.5, and there is a lot of news that is being reported about certain guys that certain teams like, whether it's Pinnix or Bo Nix or whoever it is. But the over is -260, the under at +188. What do you see here, Sal? What do you like?
I know this isn't a sexy pick here, but I'm going under at +180. And I get it, everybody needs a quarterback, and quarterbacks are so valuable. I'm looking at it this way. The scouts screw up all the time. They've right. been terrible with this. So maybe we take a break from some of these guys that we're sending to Canton right away. I mean, it only went over 4.5 once in the last 13 years. Remember Will Levis waiting forever to get drafted? Malik Willis.
He almost lost his girlfriend in real
right,
time.
Right, exactly. Well, with that walk, he could lose anybody. Yeah. Malik Willis, right? He never, like, I still don't know if he got drafted. Then there were 5 with Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, who's been traded to a team with is still going through jersey issues, and Lawrence, which is really the only one who maybe emerged. I think Nix and Penix drop out. Despite this amazing completion, I don't know if we have footage of this. This pass.
Oh yeah,
anytime, no thanks to him.
Yeah, anytime we see Michael Penix, we have to bring up this incredible catch.
Look how I got under that. It's ridiculous.
That's great stuff.
Really, really bad pass.
So you don't like Michael Penix though, in the first.
I'm going
round.
Under. Yeah,
you're going to go under. So the 4 quarterbacks we see off the board, obviously, we're talking about Caleb Williams will go 1, Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy will probably be the 4. So there is 4, I think those will be the 4. And speaking of guys who might go after a quarterback, the number 5 overall pick, looking at the Los Angeles Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, this is his new team, and he could take his old quarterback who just won him a national championship, obviously as Herbert, but there has been some rumblings he has so much interest in him. But if you look at the number 5 overall pick, the favorite is Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU, +230. Marvin Harrison Jr. right behind him at +300. Then you get to J.J. Ott, +400. J.J. McCarthy, +450. What do you say here, Sal? Do you
so
like
many
Nabers?
J.J.'s. John Jastrzemski has 14-1 or something. Yeah.
J.J. Redick's interviewing for the Hornets job. I mean, so many J.J.'s.
Can I bet on the Chargers skipping the pick, like not getting it in on time? That would be such a Chargers thing to do.
Jim Harbaugh forgot you have to submit it. Yeah. He's like, we already made a deal for a guy.
Right, he had RV problems or something.
Yeah, right, he's at the RV park, maybe. Yeah, he didn't have good Wi-Fi.
I'm going to go with, for 2 things. I'm going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that's good odds at 3-1. I think a couple could leapfrog him if they do the quarterback thing and J.J. McCarthy going early and everything. Roma Dunze at 29-1, I think is a really good. I have him at 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I think he can get good numbers. And why wouldn't you take him anyway? Look at his numbers. Look at everything. He is, wait a minute. He is a good motor guy. Passes the eye test.
Blue collar.
Grinder. Freak. Total freak grinder with a great football IQ.
I love Roma Dunze, and I do think that Jim Harbaugh was paying attention to Washington and Roma Dunze, and I think he's familiar with them, and I think there's a lot of value there. They traded Keenan Allen. They get rid of Mike Williams. They need a wide receiver for Justin Herbert, so it makes a lot of sense, and it's really one of those guys, Nabers, Harrison Jr., or Roma Dunze, that will be the pick there at number 5, so great call. Let's look at Mr. Irrelevant. We talk about it a lot with our guy Brock Purdy, but the position of Mr. Irrelevant this season, we got some odds. D-line edge rusher is the favorite at plus 380. Offensive lineman plus 430. Cornerback plus 550. Wide receiver also plus 550. I could run through every position and give you the odds. You want me to?
Okay. No, yeah.
But I like cornerback plus 1,000, Sal. What do you say? Could we get another Brock Purdy story?
You could do that, but don't say anything. It's tight end.
It's like, tight end.
Yeah, I have some inside information.
It is a tight end. Yeah, so plus 1,000 is plus the is the
just move. Keep it down. I don't, just between you and I. It's tight end.
If you're watching on FanDuel TV, keep it to yourself.
No, people watching this?
I don't think so. No, I don't, maybe Kevin O'Connor is. I all hope right. So.
If you're watching, it's kicker, punter, long snapper, plus 2,000.
Yeah, take that. I think that those are some good odds there. But Mr. Irrelevant this year, we're hoping for someone that can make a splash like Brock Purdy. You know, that'll be good. Last one, line look ahead, Sal. Best record in the MLB. It was the Dodgers as the favorites every single week heading into this week. For the first time, the Braves are the favorites at plus 170. Yankees sitting there at plus 600. Orioles at plus 1,000. Phillies plus 1,200. What do you see here, and what is your takeaway when you see the Dodgers fall out of first?
Well, I saw them fall out of first. They beat the hell out of my Mets Sunday, and I was there
felt
for
bad
it.
For 10
you. Nothing. Yeah. Great. Just 2 hours trapped. Just so much fun. Glad I did it. Yeah, this might be the first time this early in the season that they're not in many years that they're not favored. And I think you get a good price for them at plus 230. They're 13-11, 3 games behind the Braves and the Brewers. But they're in the mix. So I would also say the Guardians at 44-1. They're 16-6. They're 10-3 on the road. All right, they beat up the A's and they beat up that terrible team at the White Sox, who's in their division. Like, they're going to keep playing White Sox. Twins are not that good. Royals may not keep it up. So 44-1, you know, we'll get to know them better after they play the Braves and Astros this coming week and next. But I think that's a good number for a team that's got it by 5 games right now.
Yeah, great odds. And, yeah, good for Cleveland. They get the Final Four, the women's Final Four, Caitlin Clark. Now they got the Guardians playing good baseball. Joakim Noah apologized to Cleveland, the city, for his comments back in the day. Yeah.
A lot
of things are turning Cleveland's way.
Make a Joakim Noah
Maybe
statue.
LeBron's going home with Bronny. Who knows? We're setting it all up
it's
for Cleveland.
Happen.
So it's good. I like that pick, and I like those odds. Last thing, Sal, the Tate debate. This was a highly debated topic amongst my friend group, but PK Subban, of course, former NHL player, he was in the studio there for ESPN during the NHL playoffs, and they had the trophy, which we had in studio, the Stanley Cup, a couple weeks ago, and Mark Messier was trying to get him to touch the trophy, and he was not adamant that he cannot touch the trophy until he earns the trophy. So I asked you the question, is it okay to touch a trophy before you actually earn it? That is an open-ended question, Sal. What say you?
Well, it's up to the trophy. If the trophy doesn't want to be touched, it could become an HR issue. So you have to
ask
the trophy.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
But I think we're going to learn the answer here because you are a fan of Carolina. The trophy was in here. You touched, you caressed it, you did everything.
I think so,
You kissed it, everything. And then Mikey Meatballs is a big Islanders fan who Carolina is playing. He wouldn't even drive in to see the trophy. So we're going to know probably.
Who was smarter
We're going to know. Well, they'll probably both be eliminated in 2 weeks, so it won't matter. So
whoever wins that series wins, in my mind.
That's true.
That's what I'm watching.
Okay,
and
we're going to learn a lot.
If the Hurricanes lose, I think it'll be tough. But I think that's a good – if you actually can compete for the trophy, I like the mindset.
Yeah.
I'm not going to win, you know, a Stanley Cup. I don't think.
Not with that attitude.
Not with that attitude.
No,
that's right.
No
but, you know, as far as that's concerned, I think PK Subban, we're on your side. I like the superstition. That's a good call. Sal, appreciate you coming back to the top of the show.
It's
been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll come on even before you're on if you want.
Like, right.
I'll
whatever.
I'll just keep moving me up a half
hour. We'll go live on YouTube.
I love it.
Yeah, just like Russillo and BS. That'll be great. Where can we find all your work? And then we'll let you go enjoy
Against
your
Against all odds, a couple times a week on Ringer Podcast Network. And then Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend every Friday morning. Right here on this very network.
I love it. FanDuel TV, we appreciate you tuning in. And like I said at the top of the show, you know, happening now in real time, they're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. Kevin O'Connor and Chris Vernon on The Mismatch. So stay tuned if you want to get some NBA playoff talk. Until then, thanks to Cousin Sal, and we will see you here on Through the Ringer later in the week.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to The Mismatch. I'm Chris Vernon, and joining me on this Monday night from TheRinger.com is Kevin O'Connor, a.k.a. Kevin O'Bomber, Kevin O'Conflict, Kevin O'Candyland, Kevin O'Blizzarian, Kevin O'Sphere, Kevin
Vernon! What an amazing night of basketball, dude. That was incredible. Amazing
night of basketball. Amazing. We will get to the Knicks 76ers in our second segment, but we've got to start with the game that we just watched, which was a Jamal Murray dagger puts the Nuggets up 2-0 on the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers had at one point a 20-plus point lead in this game. Not enough, as they were still up 10 going into the fourth, but lose that fourth quarter by 11 as Jamal Murray hits an unbelievable playoff game winner to do the Lakers in. And now it was 101-99 was the final. Outscored 32-20 in the fourth quarter. And so now that series is 2-0. And if the Lakers were to be able to move on in the playoffs, they're going to have to beat the Denver Nuggets 4 out of the next 5 times. Seems like a big task, Kev.
Good luck. They needed that one. You know, the game turned in the third quarter when the Nuggets changed up their defensive scheme. They went to Jokic on Rui, KCP on LeBron James, and then Aaron Gordon on Anthony Davis. Lakers were up 17 midway through the third quarter. Nuggets made that switch, and that's where it just felt like the Lakers' offense became discombobulated. End of the third quarter, all the way through the fourth quarter, where they weren't getting quality shots anymore. They weren't able to go to the LeBron AD pick and roll, which was so effective. That on top of the fact that it just felt like AD ran out of steam on defense. You also saw Darvin Ham put AD off of Jokic at one point. You put him on Aaron Gordon and went back to Rui on Jokic, which we know doesn't work, having AD roam. So I wonder if AD ran out of steam. He started missing shots. And we do know LeBron did at the end of the third quarter. He had a stretch at the end of the third quarter where he had a turnover, a kind of a definitely a fatigue foul. Then the start of the fourth, he had a missed shot at the rim, and then he had another foul. He was gassed, immediately went out of the game. So for LeBron and AD, you know, we're talking about some of the things that didn't happen for them down the stretch, and yet those guys were amazing for the Lakers, and yet you don't win the game. They are defending the best players on the Nuggets. At the end of the game, it's LeBron on Murray and AD on Jokic. They're the guys leading the way for them all throughout the game. LeBron on defense with blocks, effort, taking a charge in the first 3 minutes of the game. AD not missing a single shot, and yet you still lose the game. The Lakers couldn't have asked for any more from their best players, and yet it still wasn't enough.
Well, they could have asked for a little more, and
yeah, a little bit more, man. But like, it's a lot to ask when you got all that.
Okay, but Kevin, I'll have to go back and check. Forget scoring. I don't think Anthony Davis touched the basketball in the fourth quarter. I don't think he ever touched it. I don't think anyone ever passed it to him. The one attempt was D'Angelo Russell, which got him taken out of the game. Just an insane attempt to pass, like a hook shot pass, like for an alley-oop. I don't think he touched the ball in the fourth quarter. Their offense was absolutely abysmal. And honestly, like, it took until the very end for Denver to take that lead. Denver was getting every shot they wanted on the offensive end. And the Lakers, I mean, it starts off, it's like a buzzer-beating three from Taurean Prince. Then LeBron hit those two threes from the top of the key. Other than that, that was like all they had for the first six and a half minutes of that fourth quarter. And it was, and then of course, you know, some other guys hit some shots down the stretch. You had Russell hit one, you had Reeves hit one, and LeBron had his drive and also his steal and his dunk. So, I mean, they rallied together 20 points in the quarter, but I honestly do not remember a time where Anthony Davis touched the basketball in the fourth quarter. It's unfathomable to me.
And the fact that they still went into a dead stretch on offense where AD's not getting those touches, as you said, I do think is in part a knock on him, where he leaves the game, he still got two timeouts. He still got a challenge. He didn't make adjustments to that defensive scheme change that the Nuggets made. This, again, there's a report earlier today that the expectation is that Ham would be back as Lakers head coach next season. They're not going to go anywhere with Darvin Ham as their head coach. They're just not. He does not make in-game adjustments the way the best coaches in the league do. And I thought that was an example in the fourth quarter tonight where just a simple tweak back to something that we've already seen the Nuggets do before, the Lakers did not have a counterpunch to that. Third quarter, they force-fed it to 80 a little bit, but they did not go back to that at all in the fourth. I think this is, again, in part on Ham, but also, like I said, I do think 80 ran out of steam. He did seem tired towards the end of that
fairness,
third quarter.
In fairness to Darvin Ham, though, Kevin, LeBron James has a three at the top of the key to win that game. He misses it. Jamal Murray hits one fading away with Anthony Davis like in his face. I mean,
of course, but you mentioned like AD not getting a touch on the fourth. I'm just responding to that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Specific point.
And their offense was just abysmal. They didn't get anything good. I mean, they got a couple drives here and there, a couple kickouts, but that was a rough go in that fourth quarter, and it felt like, man, you're going to need a lot more than a 10-point lead because Jokic turned up and Murray, who had had a total dud of a game and dud of a series thus far for his standards, you know, makes a couple of the mid-range shots down the stretch and then hits that massive game winner. And obviously we're burying the fact that Nikola Jokic, who we should not be tired of doing the incredible, but it's now X minutes into this podcast before we're even mentioning that they had a graphic that he had a 20-20-10 game and that had been done in the history of the NBA by Kevin Garnett once, and it had been done by Tim Duncan once, and it had been done by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar once, and it'd be done by Dave Cowens once, and it has now been done by Jokic four times.
Jokic is the best player in the world, man. He proves it time and time and time again that he is the best player on the planet.
How about the blender he put AD in down the stretch for the and one? Oh, my
beautiful.
God.
Dude, he is – it just feels like with Denver, because of Jokic, they are just inevitable that you know they're going to come. How many Lakers-Nuggets games have followed the same script where the Lakers have a lead at some point in the second half, and then the Nuggets just storm back and build a lead on their own? And granted, this one goes to the final buzzer, but that's in part due to Jokic and what he does to you, where he just makes perfect decisions on the floor. He does not make mistakes. And even sometimes where things, you know, slip up a little bit, like in the play after LeBron had this amazing steal, the strip on Murray at the end of the shot clock, and then he has a slam in transition, and then Jokic brings the ball up the floor, and he kind of looks like he tried to draw a foul on a three, and it kind of was an awkward play. Gordon saved it from going out of bounds. But like, even when it doesn't go right somehow for Jokic, it still does, because eventually a ball finds it in MPJ's hands. He ties it with a three. After that LeBron moment, it felt like things might be swinging back to the Lakers. But somehow, even for Jokic, when things aren't exactly as planned, they still seem to work out. The dude is remarkable. I cannot get over that guy.
That shot that you just mentioned, that is a massive shot by Michael Porter Jr.
Dude, it really was. Shot. I mean, he himself had a really strong game too. I mean, he was great.
And
8 of 13 from the floor for the Nuggets.
Well, and you know, we talk so much throughout these playoffs about like the other guys in the series. You know, there was a ton of energy. KCP gave him a lot in that third quarter. Christian Brown, great minutes. Great minutes. Obviously, he left those two free throws out there that he missed, but just doing all that energy stuff, we wondered who's gonna be the guys this year that do the Jeff Green stuff, that do the Bruce Brown stuff, like those ancillary parts, and who's going to be doing it. And, you know, we saw it tonight. That's a nip-tuck game, and you get some winning plays from Peyton Watson. You get some winning plays from Christian Brown. You know, those were the only two guys that even got you a bucket off the bench today. But on the other side, the Lakers got literally nothing off of their bench. You got Taurean Prince hitting those two threes. That's it, Kev. Nothing out of Vincent. Yep. Nothing out of Dinwiddie. Nothing out of Jackson Hayes.
Yep, that's my point earlier when I said you got everything you could ask for out of old man LeBron James and AD. You didn't get enough from everybody else on the team.
What a night of basketball. We're going to get to Sixers-Knicks coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
On to the first game of the night. And oh, Kevin, did we get more than we bargained for with Knicks Sixers? 104 to 101. The Knicks go up 2-0 in the series. And the way this game ended is one that, no hyperbole, we honestly will not forget. Because how rare is it to see a team that is up by 5 points give up 6 points in a 20-second span off of a Brunson three, then a steal, then an offensive rebound, a DiVincenzo missed three, then a DiVincenzo made three. That ends up giving the Knicks the lead, and then they're able to hold on.
How can the Sixers take this back? How do you bounce back from that is the way I'm feeling right now. It's what a bummer for Sixers fans, and boy, oh boy, for Knicks fans. That kind of epitomizes who they are, playing with heart and Hartenstein down the stretch of that game. That was awesome.
And Hartenstein, you want to talk about game-winning plays. Holy mackerel. Not only did he get the huge offensive rebound when it mattered most? Then the block on Maxey on a game-tying opportunity for them. I mean, just huge, huge plays. And
even, Chris, the play that didn't go right for the Knicks when Hartenstein was defending and beat at the elbow and he kicked it out to Maxey for a three to take the lead. Hartenstein did a great job on that possession to really hold steady against Embiid. It's just Hart overhelped. And that's what left Maxey open. But even on the play where it didn't go right, I felt like he played awesome defense. Like every moment down the stretch, he was unbelievable for the Knicks.
And it's just a couple of plays. It's one of those that, you know, when we sometimes it can sound trite that every play matters. Like truly, the Sixers flipped that game completely. The Knicks were dead in the water. It was an 18-6 run for like the last 7 minutes of that game, 11 of those by Maxey. Maxey was off the charts great. And he's got 11 of this 18. It's an 18-6 run. They flipped the game completely. They're still up 5. Bam, bam, right? At the end of that game. I mean, do you see the way that plays out where they've got the ball? It's Lowry hits a free throw and makes it 101-96. Then you come back down. Brunson hits that corner three or from the side or right in front of the bench. And then absolute chaos after that. But, I mean, you were up 101-96 with 47 seconds left. That's a tough one to lose. That is, dude, a tough one to lose.
It follows the same script in a lot of different ways, because in this game today, the Sixers were a +3 in Embiid's minutes on the floor. He had 34 points in the game. Granted, it was on 29 shots. It wasn't the most efficient game for Joel Embiid, but they still were positive with him in the game. Just like game one, which they also lose, and that performance with Embiid, they were a big plus with him on the floor and a huge minus with him off the floor. And this is now, these two games are the 9th and 10th time in his entire playoff career in which the Sixers had a positive plus minus with Embiid on the floor, but they lost. and that includes two game seven losses. So for Embiid, this is the same as it's always been, where he's been a plus on a lot of these games that the Sixers have managed to lose. And I think for the Philadelphia 76ers series is not over yet, but man, like those non-Embiid minutes, they have to find a way to be better. And I don't think they have the solutions right now with this team, because when Paul Reed is out there, you saw it at the end of the third quarter. They were doubling Maxey on offense, pressuring him, trying to get the ball out of his hands. And they were just going at the rim with ease, with Paul Reed protecting the rim and not Joel Embiid out there. I just don't think this Philly roster, despite all the good improvements they've made this year at the wing spot and Maxey's own improvement in the backcourt, even Lowry, the midseason addition, he's been very good for them. They don't have the size behind Embiid that they need.
Somebody's got to step up besides those two, though. I mean, you get 69 points out of Maxey and Embiid. That's all you're asking for. Like, you got massive production, and Maxey almost gets to a triple-double. He's got 35, 10, and 9. Embiid's got 34, 10, and 6. And it's like, they got one other guy in double digits. And that's Tobias Harris, who, if you remember a play Tobias Harris made, then good luck to you. But yeah. And the rest of them, like Oubre, or, you know, you're not going to get some kind of big offensive output out of Kyle Lowry, but they have had guys when they have been at their best step up. Oubre has stepped up in the past. Batum stepped up huge. Right there at the very tail end of the season in the play-in game, that was like the Batum game. But, I mean, Buddy Hield, I mean, he's irrelevant. He's got 2 points on one of three shooting. I mean, they got to get somebody else to go along. Whoever that third guy is, it's going to really be able to contribute. Now, in fairness.
And Hield, you mentioned Hield, Chris. Like, that's one of them where it's like, what the hell has happened to Buddy Hield? Where is the shot? Like, he just doesn't even shoot sometimes. I mean, you talk about, like, the Sixers needing players to step up when Embiid's on the floor. You can talk about the lack of a big behind him, but they're plus 75 minutes in the series with Embiid on the floor. They're winning the minutes Embiid is on, but they're a minus 24 and only 21 minutes in the minutes that Embiid has been off. That's where Hield needs to just start taking threes. He needs to make shots. You need to find other ways to generate offense. Harris has to do something. And they're just not getting any of that, all.
I'm not going to pronounce him dead yet, though. And here's why. Because that environment at Madison Square Garden was 50 out of 10. It was incredible. Unbelievable, right?
I need to go to a game. I want to go to a game so bad at MSG. I've only been to MSG when the Knicks have been bad, not with this type of team.
With as effusive in praise as you have been for the Sphere, Dolan will probably roll out the red carpet for you.
Oh. I would love that.
To go to the Garden. So
I'll be there next month for Dead & Company. I can't wait.
The point is, that whole environment was raucous, unbelievable, and we know role players always play better at home. And the Knicks got it out of guys, right? Like, they got it out of Josh Hart. They got it out of Hartenstein. They got it out of a lot of these dogs. I mean, that's a team that's pretty easy to root for anybody that likes basketball, because they got a lot of tryhards on that team. But you had a lot of their ancillary players play a lot better in front of that home crowd. Roofs coming off the place.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.